JM and the AM, and we have a special treat for everybody. Our music director, Mark Zomik, is visiting our studio this morning. For me, that's an extra special treat. For the audience, it is at least a special treat, and it's wonderful to welcome him here. Mark Zomik, good morning, and welcome back to JM and the AM.
Good morning, Nachum. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. How are you, sir?
Baruch Hashem, no complaints.
I have a variety. Move that mic closer to you.
Move that mic closer to me. Okay.
I have a variety of topics I wanted to discuss with you. That's why I was flattered when you accepted my invitation to stop by this morning.
Okay, and could we just make it clear to everybody who's listening to this segment, for regardless of how long it goes, I have no idea any of these topics are. You said, can you come tomorrow to the studio? I said, sure, no problem.
I had three items on my agenda, but the fourth item that slipped into my agenda happened late last night, so I'll just bring it up because I'm sure you'll find it fascinating.
Okay, great.
I'm sitting with Rabbi Goldwasser yesterday.
Hashem, there's no better place to speak.
He's amazing. And he points out to me, which I did not realize, that tonight, as you know, we change the tune for Lecha Dodi.
Right, the only time of the year.
Correct. And we say it to the tune of Elitzion.
Correct, and not Keladon.
Why? Who does the killing?
Oh, my God.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm glad I invited you because I need to hear this. You've been in a synagogue.
Oh, multiple times.
Where somebody has started it and it went into Keladon, into a tune we use for Keladon.
No. Meaning they would sing Keladon to Kelitzion.
In the morning?
In the morning.
Ivezmir.
Exactly, Ivezmir. Just people, you know, I'm sorry, and I'm already off on a tangent. It makes me, I don't want to say it makes me nuts. It's the wrong way to say, because I didn't learn sort of the rules. Once someone explains to you the rules, right, then everything is just so obvious. Like, you know, Musaf is Gevura and Malchus, and you don't sing Bavavi Mishkan Evnet a Gevura and Malchus. And Shachris is Tzion and Yerushalayim. You don't sing Shiru Shiel HaMelech ever, but right. Certainly not for...
That's why I always think for Mim Kumcha, but Yerushalayim Yerucha is the best song.
Correct. Or, Kabach Mim Kumcha works, or there's a Pirchei version. There's something that works that fits in. It has to fit into the theme of davening. And, you know, we're getting... Actually, and my cousin put me on this WhatsApp group for Bali Tefillah. Just funny to... Look, I learned from, certainly from my father. I learned from Sherwood Goffins or Zohar Lavrach. I mean, I learned from Cantor Beer. Just really the people who just can explain to you the
why
rules.
We do what we do.
Correct. And there are rules and there are themes and there are motifs and there's moods. And even if you're able to, like Sherwood Goffins, he had the four M's, I think, mood, motif, mode, and Misenai, which, you know, certainly Judah Fisher and Natanael Hirschtick may not, you know, necessarily, but he only wanted songs coming out. He says, read the words what Erev Shel Shoshan Nim say, and just don't sing it during Kedusha. Anyway, so I once said to somebody,
picked the right topic.
I once said to somebody in Shul, it was after this article came out in the Jewish Week years ago, where he says, please don't sing Erev Shel Shoshan Nim during Kedusha. And my friend says to me, what's Erev Shel Shoshan Nim? I said, da, 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 da. He goes, oh, that's just Kedusha. Like, he never even knew that it was. Anyway.
So, I'm sitting with the right Goldwasser.
Yeah, good. Sorry.
And he mentions to me that, I don't know if I brought it up or he brought up the Elitzion for tonight. And he says to me, we don't do it in our shul. Because I don't think it's appropriate for Shabbos.
Right.
And it's interesting.
Somebody argued it's not Shabbos yet, but go ahead, I hear.
Right, understood. But it's interesting because he says he actually found a source that is completely against it. Now, I went to the Dover Be'ita.
One second. I just want to throw one thing back. The nusach is the wrong word. The trup for Haftorah on Shabbos morning, Chazon is Eicha.
I said that to him. I said, you stop the Baal Kor, forget about the Haftorah, you stop the Baal Kor from saying Eicha in the middle of waning?
Right.
Like, you know, said, no, that's a minute. All right, whatever. Anyway, so we were discussing this. So I take out that he has a Dover Be'ito, of course, which is my favorite luach, and if you haven't gotten one yet, that's my gift to you in 5785. Okay. Have you ever seen it?
No.
1,800 pages.
Okay.
A luach with every detail of every minute of every day of the year.
A couple of years ago, my daughter, Leora, says to me, just, you know, Abba, I wish there was a book that just told me every single day. So now she gets it from my dad every year.
By the way, and of course, I get my boys get every luach possible. Sure. I give them the Hechel Shlomo luach, I give them the Rabbanu, the whole that stuff. So Gavri says to me, I said to Gavri, you know, does anybody walk by your table and wonder, you know, like, meaning an Yeshiva Akoto? And I forgot what we were talking about. Like, I wonder why you sit so close to this. And he goes, no, they just walk by and wonder why I have four luas on my desk. Anyway, so Dover Beito.
He sits so close to the sink, I assume.
He better. Although with his strides, I don't know if it makes a difference. Anyway, Dover Beito, which Rabbi Heber alerted me to and I became familiar with 2 years ago, and I'm addicted to it. We take it out, Rabbi Goldwasser and I, and sure enough, he says Ashkenazim and Hungarians say it to Elitzion tonight. A lot of people switch at, not Bo'i V'Shalom, like you and I did in Kemar Hashah, but at Vahayulim Shisa. They will switch at Vahayulim Shisa. Okay. And then he says, he brings another point of view, I don't remember who it was, where it's a complete mecha. Absolutely not. Do not ever say it. So we found the source there. And of course, Rabbi Goldwasser has another source that he found last Shabbos about it. So we were discussing that. So I wanted to bring, that was issue number one to bring up with Mark Zombik. Issue number two is I'm here on behalf of the listeners who want to make sure you're preparing an amazing Erev Shabbos Nachamu Erev Shabbos show. I mean, you've had 3 weeks off, which, by the way, angers certain people, but all right, you're entitled to some vacation.
That's one they, the one they should argue was my 72-week vacation during Sphira, the way it fell.
72 weeks?
I'm just saying.
No, but what do you mean? Why so late?
Because sometimes it's as few as
four Thursday nights?
It was five, I think, because of Kalamoid.
Right. Very good. Oh, I should have caught that. Very good. Next time that happens,
so the
please
truth
bring it up
to I
me.
Have to say that, and that we'll see what happens with the workout mechanism if I can squeeze seven out of them. But the truth is, these seven shows are the easiest to do.
Right. Right now, as we get into the Shivan and the Chemta.
Correct.
The seven Haftorahs that are coming up.
And now that I get off of all October also.
Right. Correct. What's the story with... how many Nachamus will be in the Erev Shabbos? Literally that
possible. By the way, it is the parsha with the most, it's a haftorah with the most songs by far. I think there are, if I can check, over 70.
But with the word Nachamu in it?
No, I would say there are probably 30 maybe. 30? Yeah. I mean, there are a couple of good psukim in the haftorah. Right. There's the first pasuk, the last book, the pasuk, there's one in the middle. I can't remember off the top of my head. I didn't look at it yet, but I was planning to prepare the music to get the music together on Sunday, but I hadn't looked at it yet.
All right, so this is Thursday night, 7 p.m., a week from last night.
Right.
Okay, and again, repeated.
And I was thinking of not even opening with a Nachamu just to throw everybody a little bit, but...
open with a Schlock Rock song.
Right.
Open with Tubav. Open with Tubav from Schlock Rock. that's an upcoming holiday.
They have a Tuba Shvat, they have a Tubav.
They have a Tubav also, yeah.
But that's the next week, isn't it?
You're doing the show on what, the 11th, 12th?
Oh, okay, so
you
it is
could
that
get away
week.
With
no,
it.
I thought it was the following.
Yeah, you can get away with it. All right, next to last topic. Next to last topic in my list of topics for Mark Zomick, our music director. You have said to us on the air multiple times over the last 40 years. Yes, it's 40 years, Mark. Multiple times over the last 40 years, you've told us that one of the reasons you like the 9 days, even though, of course, traditionally nobody would like it, is because of the 9 days menu at Chopsticks here in Teaneck, New Jersey. Am I right?
Well, it was Eidenwalk. It went back. But yeah, it was definitely Eidenwalk.
And what was the reason? The reason was because they actually had fake shrimp on the menu, which they were not allowed to do.
Correct. They were the hashkacha would not allow. I mean, I guess the rabbanut, but yeah. The hashkacha wouldn't
allow
them to make.
So did you take advantage this week?
No, I didn't, because I'm not in the city anymore.
And you were, and here also you weren't interested in?
No, the truth is I'm eating a little differently now.
40 years later?
40 years later. The irony of about a, I want to say, Pesach of last year when my son got engaged. Like, it was the most I had weighed in my entire life. And I sort of put my mindset to try to lose some weight. And so the irony of about trying to lose weight is that when you're not trying to lose weight with this mindset, the way we grew up, all we do is think about food and what we're going to eat. Right. And when you're trying to lose weight is all you think about is food, what you're not going to eat. So it really doesn't change that much.
But even one fake shrimp appetizer you didn't go for.
I don't know if they have it at the other place.
No, here. I had it across
the street. Really? Okay.
Phenomenal.
Really? Okay. So I'll try maybe one day.
They had a couple of very, well, be careful because you don't want to be thirsty on your way into the fest.
Nah, it doesn't bother me.
Wow, look at
that. Because I also do...
Expert faster,
right? The way I lost weight was doing intermittent fasting. So I normally don't eat for 20 hours.
18, 20? Most people are like 16 with you.
16. Well, 18 is the minimum usually, but I'm also drinking. That's the hardest part, is the drinking.
Right. But that's what I mean by thirsty. If you eat the wrong thing the night before, you may be thirsty.
I've never had that problem
before.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's my biggest problem is waking up to show up morning and total, and Yom Kippur also. Just so thirsty.
I don't have that problem. I had, actually... I'm going to say 3 years ago when I was a lot heavier, Yom Kippur was harder because of my blood sugar. My mouth was dry.
Right.
But that last year, it was like, boy, it is so much easier to die.
Yeah. Mouth dry slash thirsty to me is the same thing, but yeah.
No, it's different for me. Yeah. Right. Mouth dry is more of a, I want to say, a diabetic kind of thing. Right. It's
it feels worse.
Yeah, it's hard to, thirsty is a deeper feeling where at least you have some saliva in your mouth. Right. Mouth dry is just, it's harder.
And have you decided yet what you're doing on the right? Has that been assignment been given to you? Or?
Working it out, actually.
Where do you think you'll end up?
Children, what do you mean? What?
Most probably, of chakras, Mintha, Vila,
right now,
Arif, Kal Nidre.
Right now, the plan is to do what we did last year. I'm very, very particular about the Balei Tefillah, my minion. And once I sort of had it 2-3 years ago, we haven't changed.
Good.
Musaf the first day, Kal Nidre and Neila.
Nice. That's great. Wow.
I was thinking, our son and daughter-in-law are going to be in from Israel for Rosh Hashanah. I don't know, last time Adam was with us on on Rosh Hashanah. I was thinking of doing chakras the second day, but it's also a lot of extra work for me because I can't read Hebrew.
Which is not true, of course.
Right, but look.
I wouldn't do it because the chakras nusach would preparing for weeks for Musaf.
So I don't prepare as much as I used to. I have to get the nusach in my head. Musaf, I'm used to, other stuff. And all those things I'm generally, I mean, maybe Mark Lanzer might argue a little bit. My Ever is pretty good on those other things that I can't do. But for example, for a number of years, Adam and I split Rus. On Shavuos at the youth minion. I would do the first two program, he would do the last two. And for a number of years, our good friend, the late, great Mayor Weingarten, would come for a circus.
Right. Shavuos.
Shavuos. And he would very politely... Where I think I did a fine job reading the first two program of Rus, sort of, we can review it when you're ready to review it. So honestly, in his memory this year, from Pesach until Shavuos, I learned Rus. All four prakim. And we don't do it from a klaf. I mean, I'm reading it from a chumash. Right. It shouldn't be that hard. One of the reasons why I find Rus harder than, I can do a Baruch Hashem, I can do a Haftorah on a random Shabbos without too much warning. Right? You know, there are a couple difficult ones, but you know what I mean. Rus is a little harder because it's switching between Zachar and Akeva the whole time. Your cadence in your head, you don't realize you're defaulting to Elokecha instead of Elokaya.
Interesting.
You know, the letters are the same, but it's the extra syllable. And so the reason I bring that up is because I feel, and again, I don't know Hebrew as well as I could, but even that, the piyutim that we say, especially in chakras and Yom Narim, they're all made up words.
Right.
I mean, a poet put together words to sort of to make it rhyme and to make it flow, right? Those aren't words in a normal Tanakh kind of cadence that we're used to. So that work takes a long time. And doing the math on the work, right? So think about it. So Rus took me 20 minutes to lane, maybe 15 minutes to lane. And it took me, 20-30 hours to get the Ivra better. There's still somebody in Shul who was commenting, but whatever, he is what it is. Everybody else was fine. But just to... It's the calculating the number of hours for the 3 minutes to get the piyut right is hard for me to sort of wrap my head around.
By the way, I'm not being rude,
but
you mentioned something just now which reminded me I have something here I'd love to show to you. That's why I'm going through these pages as we are speaking.
It's radio. It's fine. Yeah,
that's true. Fine. I just don't want to be rude. Finally, the real reason why I asked to speak to you this morning, which we could have done by phone.
Right, you didn't tell me how to come in.
Correct. Oh, yeah, that's true.
I run around the park on Friday morning. It's not like I wasn't here.
Understood.
Friday afternoon.
The real, and by the way, speaking of the God bless mayor, I can't discuss how I obtained this at the moment, but look what someone gave me.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
That is the bar mitzvah bencher from Mayor's Bar Mitzvah. What date was it?
May 30th, 1972.
Wow. That is the bar mitzvah bench of me that someone gave to me just recently, like a couple of weeks ago.
That's a big range for Parsha Shlach.
And by the way...
Because my bar mitzvah was a month later at the same Parsha.
How did I not make a big deal for years that Meir was Parsha Shlach. How did I make a big deal about that? Shlach? Of all Parshas, that's what Meir should have been. His bar mitzvah was Parsha Shlach. I keep like,
oh, and we have the same bar mitzvah Parsha and the same name and the whatever.
Correct.
But my bar mitzvah was June 23rd, I think.
What's your Hebrew name?
Nachum Meir.
So he's Meir Nachum.
I don't know.
But and both you're both Parsha Shlach.
And both fathers named David.
And his Hebrew birthday is 19 Sivan. What's your Hebrew birthday?
26.
And you both share the bar mitzvah Parsha with Rabbi Nate Siegel.
Yes, that's true.
Wow.
But he and Nate and I share an English birthday,
June
too, 14th, right?
Yeah.
With the
Flag Day.
Former and future president of the United States.
Former and future. And I thought I'll give you this while I'm going through the collection that's been handed to me.
Oh, wow. This is a terrible picture of her.
But Mayer's in it, so I figured,
right,
you know,
okay.
Hey, why not? Anyway, last topic.
Yeah.
Last topic. Mark Zomick. What was the first Trump-Hillary election? 12, right? 2012?
16.
2016, okay.
It is. So it's not so bad that Biden didn't know when he was vice president.
In March of 2016, Mark Zomick said, as the primaries were heating up and it looked like it was going to be a very interesting summer, if you remember very early on in that election process, Trump was gaining momentum, right? During the spring and summer, Trump gained tremendous momentum, obviously ended up with the nomination, and Bernie was gaining tremendous momentum right at that time, during that time for Hillary, you know, before they figured out how Hillary would get the nomination. Mark Zomick in 2016, this is 8 years ago, imagine I remember this from 8 years ago, said, you know what, Nachum? The Democrats should nominate Bernie. The Republicans should nominate Trump. Let the country finally decide what they want to be, socialist, capitalist, right, and that'll be it. We'll finally have, they're both extreme. We'll finally right have it. I'm wondering if today, after a couple of weeks ago when Kamala Harris became the nominee, and obviously Trump's the other nominee.
By the way, it's fine that that Donald Trump calls her Kamala Harris. It's not her name.
What's her name?
It's Kamala Harris.
Whatever.
I'm just saying.
I don't know the difference. But anyway, you know, I'm a guy who nobody can complain to about mispronunciation of names. I get into an Uber every time it's Nachum, okay? Every single time. Anyway, so now I ask you, Mark Zomick, in your political opinion, do you have what you were looking for 8 years ago?
No, of course not.
No? You don't think so?
Because, unfortunately, I say this truly, the Trump and his political views are almost not connected anymore. Meaning that people who are... I was listening to...
Different than 4 years ago, you would say.
No, different than 8 years ago, even. I think that
no,
that,
but I'm saying, but even 4 years ago.
Oh, 100%.
Right.
No, after, certainly after he was elected, Trump and his, meaning that I can have, you know, not everybody can have intelligent discussions, but I can have intelligent discussions, let's say with my father, who's on the other side of the political sort of spectrum, who just can see past Trump.
Right.
Right. If you make a list of Trump's positions,
right,
you know,
policies,
regarding Israel,
issues,
it's hard. I mean, he'd win in a landslide. It's not even a question. And even now, he's moderating positions on abortion and all these other things. Look, I believe, again, being my father's son, there's always a compromise position that most of us can get. I mean, even on the biggest hot-button issues, with some sanity, there are compromise positions that, okay, that's fine. I don't get my, you know, whatever. I also... One of the biggest differences, as we know, between being a religious Jew and being a religious Christian is that my salvation is not based on convincing you that I'm right. My salvation is only on me.
Right.
And I know that so much of my worldview comes from my upbringing and my religious outlook.
Sure.
But just like I wouldn't encourage everybody in the world not to drive on Shabbos or eat matzah on Pesach or fast on Tisha B'Av, but one second, this view on abortion, this view on this is coming from the same place as that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if, whatever. So,
I hear that.
So,
yeah, you'd still say there's a compromising area.
Correct. Because I don't have to compromise.
Correct.
It's the country compromising.
Correct.
So we can all, because getting along, I still believe this is my Meir Weingarten bracelet that I still wear every single day.
What does it say?
Is, Harenim Kabel Alai Mitzvah Sabori, V'Haftal Erecha Kamocha. I had this conversation with Leo on the way to shul one morning a couple of years ago. What does God want from us? And I really believe at its base, God just wants us to get along. Just be good.
And keep, this just, is the time of year to say it, and just, we have plenty of proof.
Just, I mean, it just, what was my speech at the shul dinner for those people who really don't like me? I'm really not worth it.
Don't waste your time hating.
Don't waste your time. It's just not what it's, what do you need it for? But anyway, I think that's the problem with Trump, unfortunately. And by the way, I've been watching Vance a little bit. I think he's great, and I hopefully they can, but they're creating this caricature. And look, we do it on both sides. I think that there are answers to questions that Pete can give, but he's become, unfortunately, he's become a character. Now, that's a character of the media is making. From the minute he got elected, they were trying to get rid of him.
I totally get it.
That's I wish we could have a debate in this country, but we can't.
So you meant it 8 years ago. You meant it, like, let's finally have it out.
Well, it was also because 8 years ago, the reason why I supported Trump 8 years ago was because he wasn't an ideologue.
Right.
I mean, he was a deal maker. Trump just wants credit. He wants to get everybody and make the deal. That's what he does. And, you know, whether it was Rubio or Ted Cruz, they were believers, I don't say whatever. And I thought that was dangerous. Just figure it out. Find the compromise. There's also one other thing about Trump, which the media cannot get past, and in my opinion, is that Trump, read his book. He tells you how he negotiates. There's a $100 million building. He wants to buy the $100 million. So he comes into the negotiation saying, I'm willing to pay $50 million for it. He moves the ball. So now you're negotiating from a position. Every single time he does it, right? Mexico's going to build a wall. They're going to pay for it. Okay, they didn't pay for it. But hey, we built the wall. Right. You know, that's his MO every single time. The media, not my line, was maybe somebody in the New York Times said, the media takes him literally and not seriously.
Right.
And that's it. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Yeah. I was hoping he wasn't going to be the candidate this time, honestly. Yeah. I would hope somebody else. But
I hear you. Well, thank you, Mr. Zomick.
Whatever. It's the 9 days. You need to get some programming. Other than
I would have invited you next week as well. We just wouldn't be talking about the 9 days menu.
Next week you have to play music on Friday. It's only fair to have as much music as possible.
Music director of the Nahum Segal Network. And in addition to all the great workout mixes, he is preparing an amazing Erev Shabbos show for Shabbos Nachamu, which will start at 7 p.m. next Thursday.
I get good feedback on those workout mixes. It's interesting.
Are you kidding me? It's among the most popular stuff we have.
Baruch Hashem.
Thank you, Mark.
I mean, it's only the music. I'm just curating. That's what it is. It's not my work.
I'm still giving you credit.
Okay.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Chazon Shalom. More coming up. We'll do a little bit of Shabbos Miros before we get to Malcolm in the weekly update. You're listening to JM in the AM.